Morning. Good to be with you again this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn back to Hebrews chapter 11. We've been talking about faith, and we're going to talk about faith again. Last couple of weeks, we tried to talk about a definition of faith from Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and we talked about that, and there's so much that can be talked about faith. I know we will not cover all of the ground that the Bible has to say about faith, but I want to talk to you this morning about believing faith, or faith that brings salvation. So let's begin, first of all, with a word of prayer. Father God, thank you for the privilege of being able to serve you this morning, to be able to proclaim the word of God and the riches of Christ. And I just pray for the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that you would anoint me, dear God, that you would use me. And I pray that I would be a blessing to you and I would be a blessing to your people. And we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, the Bible talks about God having a book. It talks about our names being written in that book. And I want us to understand that salvation is completely of God, from beginning to end. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 13 and verse 8. I think that would be a good place to start, as we think about this idea of God having a plan for salvation from the very beginning. You know, some people have the idea that one day they woke up and they said, well, you know what, today I'm going to get saved. It doesn't work that way. It's God's plan. It's God's initiative. Some might call it election. And I'm going to talk a little bit about election this morning, I think, if I get to it. But it's all about what God is doing in our lives, what God is accomplishing his purpose and his will. In Revelation 13:8, it begins with kind of a negative idea, because it's talking about the Antichrist. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, that is the Antichrist, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So those that are going to worship the Antichrist, their names are not written in God's book. But you notice it talks about the Lamb, that's Jesus, that was slain from the foundation of the world. Before the world ever existed, before God ever made anything, because God is God and God knows the future, he knows the beginning from the end, God knows who's going to be saved and who's going to be lost. I'm certainly not a Calvinist that God chose some to be saved and some to be lost. He didn't do that. I believe God chose everyone to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God has a plan, and God knows who's going to be saved, and it's really based on free will. It's based on our choice. We can accept God or we can reject him. But God wants us to know from the foundation of the world, God already knew man was going to sin before he ever put man in the garden. God knew what Adam and Eve was going to do. But God already had a plan in place. I used to like that show, The A-Team. I don't know if any of you ever watched it, but the leader, Hannibal, used to say, I love it when a plan comes together. Well, God has a plan, and his plan is to save souls. Jesus said in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to give his life a ransom for many. That was God's plan from the beginning. Now, I don't know how it all works out. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they were all there in the beginning in verses 1 and 2 of Genesis chapter 1. And looking down through the corridors of time, God realized what man was going to do. And of course, God didn't wring his hands wondering, what are we going to do? But I get a picture, if they were having a conversation together, just like he said to Isaiah, whom will he send? And Isaiah said, Lord, here am I, send me. And I think Jesus, the Son of God, said, I'll go and I'll give my life in order that I could shed my blood to wash away the sin of sinful man. So God had a plan from the very beginning. You know, I've got all my notes and everything ready, but God may be altering my plan a little bit this morning. I want you to go back to chapter 10 in the book of Hebrews and begin in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, having a high priest over the house of God. So much could be said as I'm going to go through this, but a new and a living way. The old way was the law, but the law didn't work. By the deeds of the law, he said in the book of the Romans, no flesh is justified in the sight of God. No one. No one could keep the law. No one was ever saved by the law. The purpose of the law was never to save. The purpose of the law was to point us to Jesus Christ. It says, because when we understand what God is teaching us, it says we are made aware of the sin that is in our life. I talked about repentance. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. So God is putting repentance and faith together, as he says in Acts chapter 20, we're to have repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But now by a new and a living way, by a different way. And God made a new covenant. And that covenant is Christ and in his blood. And it says, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart and all assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And we are clean through the word, the washing of the word of God. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Two times we see the word faith in these verses that I've just read. We're to have a full assurance of faith. Faith is trust. Trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trusting in his promise. Trusting in the word of God. As I taught and preached these last few weeks, it's because of the word of God that we have the understanding of God's purpose and plan for our life. We read Revelation 13:8. We would never know God had a plan like that except God revealed it to us through his word. So we're to hold fast this profession of faith that we have. We're to cling to it tenaciously, that our faith is in the promise of God. Our faith is in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, what did he say to Titus? Not by works of righteousness, which we have done in Titus 3:5, but according to his mercy, he has saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Not anything we can do to save ourselves. You all know Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we are saved by God's grace, by God's amazing grace, by God's eternal purpose of grace, by God's election of grace. God chose, God elected, God made a plan of grace through Jesus Christ and faith in him to save us. And notice he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, but that's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Faith is a gift. We didn't wake up one day and say, well, now I've got faith. I find it interesting when we knock on doors and people said, you know, they have a thing like, if you're here, if you're selling Girl Scout cookies, okay. But other than that, they say, we found Jesus. Then I want to say to them, you've never found Jesus. Jesus found you, lost and undone, headed to a devil's hell. God was looking for you. We weren't looking for God. It says in John 6:44, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father draws him. God is wooing us. God is drawing us. The Spirit of God is convicting us, letting us know that God loves us. God has a plan for our life. And God is good to the just and the unjust. He pours out his mercy and grace upon everyone. You can accept it or you can reject it. You and I that are here today because we're saved, we've accepted it. But most of the world has rejected it. We can't come to Christ except the Father draws us. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 and 2, no one can confess that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. You can't get saved without God giving you that faith. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But he said, this life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we're living by the faith of Christ, that he was willing to go and to do what needed to be done. So let us hold fast that profession of faith. And then look at verse 35 in chapter 10. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but to them that believe to the saving of the soul. God says, I have no pleasure in them that draw back. In the book of Luke, Jesus said, any man that puts his hand to the plow, then turning back, is not fit for the kingdom of God. And you know, it is God that saves us. It is God that keeps us saved. And as he says in Philippians chapter 1, is it verse 6, we have this confidence. He that has begun a good work in us, he that has begun the good work in us, he will perform it unto the day of the Lord Jesus. We don't keep ourselves saved. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, we are kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. God is keeping us by his power, by his strength. We can't save ourselves and we can't keep ourselves saved. But this is something that God is doing that had nothing to do with any of my notes. But I wanted to share that with you because God impressed that upon my heart. What about this book? Those that names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, slain from the foundation of the world. Exodus 32 and verse 32, Moses says, yet now, if thou will forgive their sin, talking about the nation of Israel as he's interceding for them, if you will forgive their sin, but he says, but if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. He says, don't take them out. Take me out. You know, this is Moses. When it came to mercy, I forget the exact wording, but of all the men on the earth, he was exhibiting mercy. And what is mercy? Mercy is a willingness, just like our Lord Jesus Christ, a merciful and faithful high priest. He was willing to take the punishment for sin for you and me. And Moses said, blot me out. Hold me accountable, but not the people. That ought to be our attitude. But unfortunately, we're so selfish. I know I am. We're always looking out for what is best for us. The Bible says, think of the thing of others. Don't esteem yourself more highly than you ought to be merciful, to be willing. The Apostle Paul said, I'm willing to be accursed from Christ. I'm willing to be accursed. I'm willing to be separated from God and go to a devil's hell if my brethren, according to the flesh, the Jews, could be saved. Are we willing? Am I willing that God, you would set me apart in order that others could be saved? Now, I know God won't do that, but are we willing to give our lives for others? And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Psalm 139 and verse 16. We know this speaks about pro-life and conception of life. It says, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Every person that has ever lived, God knows their members. God knows every person that was ever born, every nation, every language. It doesn't matter. God knows them all. He knew when they were conceived. He knew when they were born. And listen to me. They were written in his book. Everyone was written in God's book. He says, I know who you are, and I know where you're from, and I know what you're all about. Now, you could believe different things about the book of life, but I believe this. Is it possible to have your name blotted out? Yes, it is. Because I believe every name of every person that has ever lived are written in God's book. Because God wants them all to be saved, and he wrote their names in that book. But one day, you and I, who have put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a name written that no man knows, only us and God. You know, all through the Bible, God changed people's names. You know, Solomon's name was Jedidiah. You know, we know different ones that Jacob's name was changed to Israel. God gave them new names because of their relationship. You and I, we sing that song, I've got a name written down in glory, and we do. And it's because God has a book. Turn over to Revelation chapter 20, the great white throne judgment, where all of the people that are lost are going to appear. I know some people say everybody's going to be there. I can't argue with that. I think this is a judgment of the lost. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, their life story. And another book was opened, which is the Lamb's book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Several places in the book of Revelation it talks about this book that God has. And he says, if you put your faith in Christ, I will not blot your name out. But if you reject Christ, tells us in chapter 10 in Hebrews that if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. It's like they said in John chapter 6 when so many went away from Jesus, and Jesus said to the 12, will you go away also? And they said, where will we go? Where are we going to go? Only you, Lord Jesus, have the words of life. And if you don't trust Christ, there's no other plan, there's no other method, there's no other God, there's no other way. It's only Jesus Christ. And God says, your name is in the book because I love you, but if you reject me, I'm blotting your name out. It's your choice. It's your decision. I wrote this down. God woke me up last night. And I wrote these words, the sovereign election of God is through grace to save them that believe, that have faith in the redemption and salvation of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This book is based on divine foreknowledge. Salvation is based on divine foreknowledge. Romans 8:28, for we know all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. And for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. He determined that we would be conformed to the image of his son, that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And he says, those whom I did predestinate, I did call. And those whom I called, I did justify. And those that I did justify, one day I will glorify. We are called of God. We are elected of God. It's sovereign grace. It's God's grace to save. It's God's plan to save. It's God's mercy, and it's his forgiveness. And it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. People get all hung up and arguing about, you know, are you a Calvinist or an Arminian? I'm neither. I believe the Bible. Calvin didn't die for me. John Arminius didn't die for me. Jesus Christ died for me. I don't have to believe what men teach. All I have to believe is what the Word of God says. And God says He loved me and He gave Himself for me. I believe that. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's sovereign election of grace. He explains this to us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. According as He, God, has chosen us in Him, Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. God says, I didn't choose who would be saved, but I chose how you would be saved. I chose you in Him. How do you get in Him? John 1:12. To as many as received Him, to them He gave the power, the right, to become the children of God, who not are born of the flesh, not born of blood, not born of man, but they're born from above, born of God. They're born again by the Spirit of God. So God says, I elected you in Christ from the foundation of the world. How do you get in Christ? By receiving Him, by trusting Him, by believing in Him, by calling on the name of the Lord. And He says, if you will call upon Him, what? I will in no wise cast out. I'll not turn you away. The vilest, wickedest sinner can be saved if they'll put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's God's plan. Now, you may agree with me or disagree with me, but I believe in a sovereign God. I believe in a sovereign God who created the world, who is in control of everything, and I believe He has elected everyone to be saved. He has elected everyone, but we have a choice. We can reject, as it says there in Hebrews chapter 10, if we willfully sin. What is willful sin? It's to know the truth and to reject it, to understand that Christ died for you and to reject it. He goes on to say that the only thing you have to look for, what, is the fearful judgment of God, because there's no other way, there's no other plan. So people can willingly, you know, if you accept Calvinism in all that it teaches, which I don't, you would have to go all the way back to the garden and say it was God's purpose and plan that Adam would sin. It was never God's plan that Adam would sin. That was the devil's plan. In the garden, Adam was created with volition. You know, animals have instinct to guide them. Human beings have a conscience and volition. We are created in the image of God. We have the ability to make choices and to choose. In the book of Deuteronomy, He said to the people, choose life or choose death. It's your choice. You could choose a blessing or you could choose a cursing. God gives us the ability to choose because we're created in the image of God. Adam and Eve made a choice. They chose to reject what God had said, just like so many do today. There are those that teach there is no hell. Well, the Bible is clear. The wages of sin is death. And it's not just to die and be put in a grave. No, it's beyond that. As it talks about there in chapter 20 in the book of Revelation, they'll be cast into the lake of fire. There is a lake of fire. There is eternal damnation and eternal judgment. But God, in Matthew 25, hell was created for the devil and his angels, not for human beings. So we have a choice. You know, and even as believers, I touched on this, I think, in my message last week when I talked about the Apostle Paul. We have a choice. You could be saved and on your way to heaven and praise God that you are, but you can have a choice. Am I going to obey the Lord? Am I going to follow the Lord? Am I going to surrender my life to the Lord? Every day, that's our choice. Paul said, I die daily. Every day, I have to die to self. And we have to die to ourselves and take up our cross, and we have to follow Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. So according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated unto us the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the love. So, you know, grace and faith, mercy, they all go together. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace, wherein He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to this His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself. in verse 12 that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. In John 6:44, where he said, no man could come except the Father, which has sent me, draw him. He said, I will raise him up in the last day. So God's election, we're chosen in Christ. Not who will be saved, but how we will be saved. If we will put our trust, put our faith in him. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1. I'm sorry, chapter 3. We all know of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He's saying, I didn't come to condemn you. You're already condemned. You're already condemned if you're not accepting my plan and my purpose and my grace. You're on your way to hell without Christ. You know, we have a lot of religious people in this world. We have a lot of churches today, and God has to judge. God knows those that are his own. And I mentioned last week at the end of the message, there's many errors, certainly in Jehovah Witnesses and Mormons and other groups, many errors in their teachings. Because you see, the only way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's churches today that, you know, they're trying to, I don't know, make the service more exciting, more entertaining. You cannot manufacture the Spirit of God. What could be more exciting than the Spirit of God would fall upon us, and we would repent and run to the altar and shed tears and pray and call out to God? What could be more exciting than that? You can't manufacture that kind of excitement. You can have smoke and you can do this and you can do the other and all that you want to do. It's too bad that we don't learn just to depend on the Holy Spirit. Just let God do his work. So men are already condemned. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn you. Verse 19, this is the condemnation. Light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Paul said, time will come in the last days when men will not endure sound doctrine. They don't like it when we talk about the King James Version of the Bible, and I'm not going to get into that debate. But God's word is settled in heaven forever. That's what it says in Psalm 119 and verse 89. God's word is pure. Proverbs 30 and verse 5. God has no errors in his word. And so there's people, many you might call them like the scribes and scholars in the days of Jesus. They think they know more than God. And they think we'll translate the word of God to make it more pleasing or more acceptable. God's word is God's word. It cannot be changed. He'll bless those that keep the word of God, and those that change the word of God, he says, I'll curse them. It's a dangerous thing. Paul said, I don't handle the word of God with craftiness or deceitfulness. I don't know why they don't fear those that think they can go in and change the word of God anytime they want to get ready. Men love darkness rather than light. Don't tell me about sin. They say, tell me about the love of God. I remember the couple years I was involved in the ecumenical breakfasts. They had a woman pastor at the Lutheran church. The first time I preached on Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father but by him. They didn't like that. They thought I was being too exclusive. I was being too judgmental. Well, all they have to do is listen to the word of God. Anyway, they had a meeting. And she said, Brother Jordan, I would like for you to preach on the love of God because you're too hard. I said, okay, I'll preach on the love of God. And as I began to preach, I said, God loved you, and why does he love you? He loves you because you're a sinner. And I went right into the gospel presentation. That's why God loves you, because you're on your way to hell without Christ. That's why God loves you. No, people don't want to hear the truth. He talks about those in, was it 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, those that hold the truth of God in unrighteousness. God will send them strong delusion to believe a lie. They don't want light. They want a make me feel good sermon. We all like that. But if there's no power in the Word of God and no conviction, if we walk in and walk out the same way we came in and there's sin in our life and we just say, well, okay, sarah, sarah, whatever will be, is got to be something wrong with that. Why do they hate the light? Because it says the light reproves them, convicts them of their evil deeds. And the Bible is clear. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And if you walk in darkness, you deny that you know Christ. Yes, we all sin. We all fall short. And we have an advocate in the righteous one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. But that's not a, grace is not a license to sin. Grace is God's provision, God's way of bringing us to himself. If I'm able to teach again on faith, I'm going to talk about the work of faith and how faith works, because James says, faith without works is dead. So faith is trusting. Trusting in the promises of God, trusting in the truth of God's word, trusting in Christ is the only way of salvation. Let us hold fast to our profession of faith. We're not of those that draw back unto perdition, but we are those that are going to hang in there and hold on to the saving of the soul. Father God, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for your amazing plan. Thank you that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thankful one day we'll be able to stand because of what you've done, not what we've done. Bless us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.